All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. We have a question here that our Lord asked a sinner. Luke 18, verse 41. The Lord said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now, are there anybody here with a need, a true need? What wilt thou that Christ should do unto thee? We may think that this is only a message for those who are just coming to Christ, but this is the simplicity of Christ. What we're going to see in this passage is what our Lord does for his people every day, multiple times throughout the day. And this is what he brings us to do throughout each day as believers. Peter said we're always coming unto him. And this is the first picture of the first time he comes to a sinner. And it never stops. This is the simplicity of Christ. If we could get this and know this is the simplicity of a believer's life, every hour, every day, coming to Christ for all our need. And this is what he does. Now, let's just take this verse by verse. It says here in verse 35, "It came to pass that as the Lord was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." This blind man was Bartimaeus. Now, he's blind. He's unable to work. He's unable to provide a living for himself. He's blind. And he had to sit by the highway and beg. He depended entirely upon others to give to him because he couldn't do for himself. He was blind. Those Christ saves are born into this world spiritually blind. Worse than that, we're totally unable to save ourselves. We're unable to even help ourselves in this thing of salvation. Those that are given faith in Christ even are still helpless in ourselves. Our Lord said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." That's me and you, believer. A sinner needs Christ to be all to him. We need Christ to be all to us. The sinner knows that the true sinner, made to know himself, no, he can't contribute anything. He can't provide anything that'll please God. He knows he needs Christ to be his salvation beginning to end, the author and finisher of our faith. He needs Christ to redeem him from the curse of the law. We need Christ to quicken us to life and continue to quicken us. We need Christ to be our righteousness and our holiness. We can't provide it. We need Christ to be our righteousness and our holiness, the perfection that God will accept. We need Christ to be our spiritual life and our daily bread, that bread of life by which we live spiritually, continually, and are sustained and kept by God. We need him. We need him to preserve us. To preserve us, to hedge us about, to keep us, to guide us, to lead us, to turn us when we need to be corrected, to continually be our wisdom in our heart, to teach us and lift our hearts to heaven to see from whence our help comes. We need him constantly, beginning to end. He is salvation. Everything included in that tremendous word salvation. That's who Christ is. That's why God sent him to save his people. We need him to take us through that river of death and to present us faultless to God our Father, to raise our bodies incorruptible and conformless to him and present us to the Father without fault and without blame. We need him for everything. So the Spirit of God's going to bring his child to confess he's blind. He's a sinner. He needs God. And this blindness pictures everything about our need from the top of our head to the sole of our foot. Nothing but bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. And this blindness typifies that. It's our complete and total need we have. Look over at John 9. You remember when our Lord healed another blind man, and the Pharisees came to him, and they thought they could see. That's pride. They thought they could see. They didn't think they needed Christ. They thought they could see. And that means they thought they could work out a righteousness. They could make themselves holy. They could keep themselves. They could present themselves. They thought they didn't need him. And listen to what he said. John 9, verse 39. John 9, 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see." That's his people. "And that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" That insulted them to be told they needed him for everything. "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, if you came confessing your nothingness and your blindness," he said, "you should have no sin." We're talking here about far more than just giving us sight and physical healing. We're talking about God healing us of our great disease. That's the sin that we are. He said, "If you came to me confessing your absolute total need of me to be all your salvation, you'd have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." So when the Spirit of God gives us life, he makes us see our sin, our total ruin, and he continues to work this in his child, making us know we're blind, making us know we're sinners, making us know we need him. We can't work out a righteousness for ourselves. Notice here, Christ came to where this blind man was. He says there, "It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way begging." Those Christ came to save are certain blind men, his elect. God chose his people freely by grace, apart from anything in us. And that there's certain blind men, and Christ knows them. He came to save them. He knows where we are. He knows us. He knows all about us. He knows where we are. He has us on his breastplate. He came to save us. And he came there to where this man was. And he never stops coming to his child. He's an ever-present help. And he never ceases to come to us and do what he did here. And we know faith comes by hearing. Now look what it says, verse 36. "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant." This blind man heard all this commotion, this multitude coming by. And he said, "What is this? What's going on?" And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Christ is going to send the gospel to his child, declaring the truth. He's going to send the gospel in truth. And he's going to save us beginning to end through the preaching of the gospel. Not through a lie. He doesn't have to. He's sovereign. He's going to save through the preaching of the truth. He said in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Every step of that is by Christ, our sovereign Savior. He's going to send the preacher. He's going to give the word to preach in truth. He's going to give the faith to believe. He's going to give the ear to hear it. And he's going to bring his child to cast it all on him. And he's the righteousness he imputes to us to make us righteous. He went to Bartimaeus personally. He came to this blind man personally. Christ is going to come to each of his people personally. Each one of them. He's sovereign to send his preacher in truth. He's sovereign to make it effectual in our heart. And he's sovereign to irresistibly make us hear and believe and come to him. This is our Redeemer. This is who he is. And so he's going to do this only through the gospel because he's sovereign. It pleased him to save through the foolishness of preaching, and he's able to do that. He's able to do it. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Paul said, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You're not going to save through that message that's saying that it's preaching another Jesus. It's saying Christ wants to save you, and he's trying to, and that putting it all in a sinner's hand. That's not declaring a sinner totally ruined, and it doesn't give him the honor, and he's not going to save through that message. He's going to save through the message that declares he is the Savior. And then when he does this, the sinner, when he's made you hear, you're going to cry for mercy. Look here in verse 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He heard, they told him, and he cried out for mercy. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He cried out, Jesus, Savior, save me. His name's Son of David. That's a capital S right there. You see that? He's the Son of God, God the Son, given. And after the flesh, the Son of David, made like unto his brethren. And this man heard him and heard of him, and he called on him because he believed he was the one who could save him. He called out for mercy. What is mercy? Go over to Psalm 51. Look at. To call for mercy and to ask for mercy is to confess we are totally ruined sinners and that we don't deserve anything from God. That's what being a mercy beggar is. And when you're crying out for mercy, you're saying you need Christ to be all and you need him to do all. And I want you to notice here in this, David's crying for mercy. Now, he's a believer who needs mercy still. We don't ever stop needing mercy. We don't ever stop crying for mercy because we don't ever stop being sinners. And I want you to see here how everything is Christ working it. How everything is God doing it. Look at this. Look at these. He cries out, verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Only God can do that. Only he can have mercy. Only he can blot out transgressions. Look, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. We're calling on, mercy's calling on for him to do the washing. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before me against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You see this call for mercy? It's not only confessing sins, what I've done. He confessed that. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. But it's also confessing sins what I am. He said, I was conceived in sin. I am sin through and through. Thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me. Only he can. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. See, it's all him. This is what mercy's act. He does it all. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. You see these words where it's him doing them all. You hide your face. Blot out my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. All of this is God doing it. That's what mercy's begging. Lord, only you can do all these things for me. I don't deserve them. I've sinned against you, and sin's all I am. I have no claims on anything from God. Whatever he does for us, brethren, it's God doing it in mercy. And when he does that for you, he said, then will I teach transgressor thy ways. Because this is God's ways. This is Him. Sinners should be converted to you. Now, the faith God gives will be tried. It's going to be tested. God's going to see to it. God's going to manifest. He gave the faith and He sustains it. And He gets the glory. And so He's going to test it. And that true faith that's tested, though it's tested, true faith will never quit crying for mercy. Never. Never goes back, never quits, never gives up, never goes out and departs. It keeps crying for mercy. Look at this. Verse 30, Luke 18, 39. And they which went before rebuked him when he cried out for mercy. Here's a blind man begging. And here's this crowd going along with the Savior. Probably a lot of people in that crowd that don't believe him. They're not blind. They're not sinners. But they're with him. And this blind man is begging, and that bothered them. And they rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. Thou, Son of David, have mercy on me. They rebuked him, told him to hold his peace. You know what they were saying to him? You're a sinner. You don't have any value to be with us. You don't have any claim to be with us. Quit crying out to him. You're a sinner. You're not fit to be in our company. Did that make him stop? Did that make him quit crying for mercy? Did that make him stop looking to Christ only? It wasn't them he needed. It was Christ he needed. And he cried so much more. Lord, have mercy on me. God's going to test the faith he gives from the beginning to the end. Friend and foe, strangers and loved ones, folks you never even thought would be your enemy are going to end up being your enemy. Christ promised that. They're going to rebuke you. They're going to point out everything. Wicked thing about you. And they're going to try to stop you crying for mercy. That's the devil's number one priority. He's trying to get God's people to stop crying for mercy. The Lord said through Paul, there must needs be heresies. That's choices. Why? There must needs be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. The Lord's going to manifest who He's approved, who He's assayed in the heart and given true faith. And here's how He's going to do it. They're not going to stop crying for mercy. They will not. Hell may endeavor to shake your faith. Hell may endeavor to turn you from Him. Here's the good news, brethren. The Lord, by His power, by His strength, He's going to uphold the faith He's given you. And He's going to keep you crying for mercy from Him. You have nobody else. You have to have Him. And He keeps you knowing that. And the faith He gives will not fail. You will not quit. You'll keep crying to Him. If He's given us true faith, He's going to prove it. That it's the genuine article. You're not going to stop calling on it. And Christ always answers the cry for mercy. Now look here in verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto Him. Mark says Jesus stood still. Now, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Christ gives the new heart. He gives the new spirit. He gives life before we even know what He's done. And He never stops keeping that heart cleansed and renewed to call on Him. And so He puts this cry of mercy on our tongue. Turn me, Lord, and I'll be turned. Put this prayer in my heart and I'll pray to you. I'll call on you. And He's the one that gets the glory. He said this, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that's far off and to him that's near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Christ is going to stop. When he put it in the heart, he put it on the tongue, and when that cry of mercy comes to him, he's going to stand still. And give the command, bring him to me. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. The Lord's nigh unto all them that call upon him. Was he near blind Bartimaeus? He came right to where he was, didn't he? He was near to him. That's why he called him. He made him call. And the Lord's near unto them that call to him, to all that call upon him in truth. What is that? Everything we're looking at here, to confess, I have nothing. I am nothing. Lord, I need you to do it all. I need you to be all. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and he will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Christ draws his child to him. Jesus stood still and commanded him, be brought unto him. Mark says, they called this blind man, and they said, here's these people who were saying, shut up, quit calling on him. Lord said, bring him to me. And they go to the blind Bartimaeus now, and they say, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. Oh, can you just put yourself, I know you can, you put yourself there in blind Bartimaeus' shoes. This man he can't even see what's going on. He hears this commotion. They say, this is Jesus of Nazareth. And he knows something about him. This man can give me sight. This man can heal me. He calls out for mercy, and the cry comes back, hush, quit calling on him. Oh, that must cast him down. And then he hears Christ say, bring him to me. And they come and say, be of good comfort. He's calling for you. Don't you know? Don't you know? Oh, his heart. You know what that's like. You know what that's like. Every time a believing sinner calls for mercy, it's because Christ has first called us. And he makes you never stop calling, and he always sends this good news. Be of good comfort. Rise. He's calling for you. Come on. But I have a free will. I can reject him if I choose now. Not if you're a blind beggar. You reckon Bartimaeus would have argued in defense of his will? You reckon blind Bartimaeus would have said, now I'm not coming to you. Now let's get this. Let's understand this now. I'm not coming to you unless I can have a part in giving myself sight. You reckon this blind man said something like that? He's blind. He can't do a thing for himself. He's blind. Oh, those that don't know him, they're going to boast about something they did. Those that know him and know themselves, they're not going to argue and pride about something they did. They just going to rejoice that he said, come here. Come near. Come on. He calls you. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calls for you. Come on. That's you're going to come to him, aren't you? How does a true blind begging sinner answer Christ's call? Mark said that he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. That's what his call is going to do. You're going to cast off your garment. You're not going to have any trust in anything you are or anything you've done. Never. Not anything you've done that might gain you favor, and you're not even going to regard anything you've done that might keep you from him. Whenever he's made you to know what you are and who he is, you casting off your garment. Nothing in my hand I bring. I'm coming needy. I need everything. And he calls you and he makes you rise. He makes you come to him. For what? To be robed in his righteousness. To be found in him alone. To have him to be your wisdom in spite of your ignorance. To have him to be your strength because you have none. Have him to be your sight because you're blind. Have him to be your hearing because you're deaf. To have him to be your all. You're coming to him saying, Lord, I need you only. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Now you think about this now. Lord knew. The Lord knew. He don't ask questions for information. The Lord knew what everything was going on here. He knew. But he's going to ask us, what will you have Christ do for you? Now listen, it ain't about what you'll have him do for this one over here, that one over here. It's not what you think of that one or the other one. What do you think of Christ? What will you have Christ do for you? Do you need him? Do you need Christ to do it all for you? What will you have Christ do for you? Are you willing to confess to Christ that you need him to save you? Beginning and end. Everything about your salvation. Are you willing to confess that you need him to be all? Are you willing to confess you need him to give you a right spirit? You need him to purge you of all your sin. You need him to justify you before God. You need him to be your propitiation, your satisfaction, your atonement, your reconciliation with God so God will receive you. You need him to keep you in the way, following him. Here's what he said. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. That's what the Lord said to him. Well, I didn't think our faith contributed. Listen carefully. Faith which saves is faith that is willing for Christ to do all the saving. The faith that says, well, now my faith, if I believed him now. No, no. The faith that says, well, I came to him. I arose and came to him. No. It's the faith that's willing to confess Christ does all the saving. He alone. That's saving faith. That's the faith God gives. Verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people when they saw gave praise unto God. Immediately Christ gave him sight. You can pine away in your sin and try to appease your soothe your conscience and try everything in the world to be accepted of God. And it's all to no avail. But when Christ has worked this and he brings you in your heart to really and truly go out of yourself and confess, Lord, will you have mercy on me? Will you do all for me? When he does that, immediately Christ makes you whole. That's right. Immediately. Same with us when we're going through our life, brethren. It could be some trifling little thing that you're going through in your daily life as a believer, and you look into your hand, you look into your wisdom, you're trying to buck against God's providence and what he's put you up against. And you don't have any peace in your heart whatsoever. And when he turns you and he has to come to you just like he did here and do everything he did here, and when he's done that, he turns you to him to cast it all on him immediately. All is well. It doesn't mean that the problem's all worked out, but in here and in at the throne of God, everything's well. There's communion. That's so. That's so in all aspects of our life. It doesn't mean he's gonna eradicate all your sin and that you're gonna now walk and be just this perfect believer. Nope. He can make you for a long time travail in sin that he could just put away like that. And sin's your fault. The sin's nobody's to blame but you. But he can use that, just like he used this site, to keep you coming to him, begging him, Lord, save me, save me, save me. And in some regard, to some extent, that's what he does for us all the whole day we go through this life. He doesn't take you out of your sin. He left some enemies in Canaan on purpose. Why? To keep us coming to him and saying, Lord, I need you to be my strength. And you'll be rebuked, and you'll be tested, and you'll be tried. And he keeps doing that to show you, you cannot save yourself. He puts you in predicaments where, just like blind Bartimaeus, he brings you to a place where you see, I cannot give myself sight. I cannot take the next step. I cannot fix this. I cannot work this out. I can't do anything. Why? What wilt thou have Christ to do for you? That's the question he's going to bring. What will you have him do for you? Not what will you work out with him. What will you have him to do for you? And when you brought there to confess it to him and cast it on him, peace with God in your heart. Oh, brethren, listen. Bartimaeus rose up and followed him. That's the result. In Mark's gospel, he said, go thy way. And Christ, and the scripture says, so he followed Christ in the way. Lord heals you, and he says, now you go your way. My way now is Christ. And we followed Christ in the way. And that's what he's going to keep his child doing all our days. And look at this now. Bartimaeus glorified God. He gave him all the praise. And everybody that saw this work, they gave him all the praise too. It would have been absurd for Bartimaeus to have taken credit for anything that took place here, wouldn't it? So it would have been for them to take any credit for this. The Lord did it all. That's absurd for any sinner to say he contributed any, just a second to your salvation. Well, now there was just that one second back in 2001 when I did such and such that contributed to my salvation. That would eradicate the whole thing. Just one second. Nope, God gets the glory for all of it. From eternity to eternity and every second in between. Christ is passing by this morning. Nicodemus heard him. Heard him passing by. Do you hear he's passing by? He's passing by this morning. Do you hear him passing by? This is Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the God of glory, the salvation of sinners, righteousness, holiness, sanctification, redemption, truth, the way, the truth, the life. He's passing by this morning. You hear him? What will you have Christ do for you? If he's made you see you're a sinner, you call on him. And Christ will hear that call and say, come here. And you'll come to him. And he'll save you. And he'll make you know it immediately. And you'll throw off any other hope you have. And you'll follow him. And he won't stop this work till he brings you face to face with him in glory. What will you have Christ do for you? Amen. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we ask you come near to us this morning. We ask you, Lord, please make us hear you. Make this word life in our souls. Put this question to us, each of us here this morning. Make us answer you honestly. Lord, we have nothing in us, nothing we've ever done. All we've ever done will leave us blind and undone. Lord, make us come to you and confess our entire need to you. And Lord, please don't stop this. Renew us. Keep us cleansed. Keep us washed by your blood, and keep us calling on you constantly. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these brethren. Lord, we ask you to do this for whether it's somebody that thinks they know you or somebody that never has even pretended to know you, Lord. Work this in us. Work it in all of us who believe you. Forgive us our sin. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.